HD Smartcast.
You are listening to a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hello and welcome to Mint. I am Nasreen Sultana. You are listening to All Things Markets, where I speak to experts analyzing the big trends moving the stock markets. Do you know modern technology and mathematical computation can make trading decisions for profit by breaking down very complex data and eliminating the emotional decision-making that can occur during trading? That's called quantitative trading or quant strategy of trading. Quantitative traders take a trading technique and create a model of it using mathematics. And then they develop a computer program that applies the model to historical market data. The model is then back-tested and optimized. Quantitative trading algorithms are customized to evaluate different parameters related to a stock. Now, typically, financial institutions and hedge funds use quant strategies. But as retail investors are rising in Indian markets, quantitative trading is also catching up. But it's not all that simple, isn't it? To simplify quantitative strategies, I have with me Rishi Kohli, MD and CIO for Quant Strategies at Avendus Capital Public Markets Alternate Strategies. Hi Rishi, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Nasreen.
So Rishi, we are dealing with a very, very technical theme today, the quant strategy. And you have been working, building portfolios using quant strategy as the core theme. So could you take us through what exactly are quant strategies and how does it apply while selecting stocks and making a portfolio?
Sure. So, quantitative investing obviously is a very broad terminology. And, there are many different strategies that can come under it. But at the very basic level, anything which can be converted into a rules-based approach and there can be a systematic process around it, and which basically ends up bringing discipline, is something that, I would put under the quantitative investing framework. And that is to begin with. And then, of course, as I said, there are many types of strategies. So, for example, you can have long-only funds or long-biased funds. We hear about smart beta and quantamental and factor investing, etc. So that is also one type of quant strategies. And then there can be long-short funds, whether equity long-short or managed futures, etc. That's another type of quantitative strategies. And then there can be market-neutral funds. We don't have too many of them in the Indian market yet, but something we are planning going forward. So that could deal with either statistical arbitrage or, volatility arbitrage or equity market neutral strategies. So there are these various, obviously there can be many more bifurcations, but these are the three broad buckets I would put quant strategies under. So of course, on the long fund side, it'll end up being either stock selection or sector selection. And largely, again, in a simple way, if I were to summarize it, there are these different factors, what we call, which is basically growth, quality, momentum, value, like that. And depending on the factor, there are certain fundamental numbers and ratios that one tracks. And then you have, either strict cutoffs on what number you want. For example, ROE greater than 15, I'll only look at stocks having that feature for, let's say, a quality portfolio. That is one example. So things like that you can have, or you rank all the stocks in an index on these various parameters and then come to a, combined ranking and conclusion that, okay, these are the best stocks and these are the worst stocks based on my approach. So that is on the long side. On all the other side, some similar approaches can be done, both fundamental, which I just gave you an example, and technical also is possible. You can use price-based and statistical techniques to again decide, okay, these are the best 10 and the worst 10 stocks from, let's say, a BSE 100 index. And then accordingly use it either for long short or market neutral, whatever you may want.
Hmm. That's right. So it's like making a template or a basket where you say that a certain color of fund or stocks will be included, and then you create the portfolio. Rishi, how does it how is it different from another way of investment, which is called the AI-based investment strategy? And it's kind of catching up in India as well. So is it different or is it similar?
So that's a great question. So AI, again, you know, obviously artificial intelligence, very broad terminology. And what ends up happening in India, what I've seen is that, you know, the term is used a little loosely. So anything which is quantitative or you're dealing with, you know, patterns and pattern recognition, people will end up saying that, you know, there is artificial intelligence and machine learning in it. But, you know, truly, the true AI features and techniques that you can use, according to me, are slightly less important for the equity market. So AI is obviously much more useful in the industry. And, you know, we see a lot of startups using it, a lot of analytics firms using it. So it is very useful there, because what happens is that, you know, when you're doing that kind of analysis, it is the result is factual. So you can have 2 or 3 or 5 or 10 results. It can't be like millions of results, you know, when you are analyzing a company's balance sheet, for example. But when it comes to predicting, okay, which way the markets will go, then obviously, as we know, there are a whole host of features that come under it. So what artificial intelligence, machine learning kind of techniques end up doing is, you know, they end up what in the quant world we call curve fitting, because they will say, okay, what is the, you know, best equation that fits the data that is there, and sort of try to go with that, which again in a corporate context may be useful, but in a market context, you know, that can be dangerous, because the moment you do curve fitting, you know, market regime may change, market behavior may change, and it is not as easy to capture it, you know, as normal sort of industry statistics may be. So I would say, you know, there are certain features that are common, but one needs to be very aware of the pitfalls of, you know, using AI ML techniques blindly.
Right. So is this the reason why Indian you know, fund managers have not been using AI or quant strategies for a very long time? Only in the recently, maybe in last 2-3 years, we have seen some of funds which have launched a very, very quant strategy or quant funds, focus funds. Is that the reason why India has lagged, or India took time to get into it, you know, at par with the global peers?
Yeah, I think it's more to do with the latter. So, you know, broadly speaking, in financial markets, as per my experience, you know, we've typically been 15 to 20 years behind the US in all sorts of developments. So, you know, I was one of the first people in the Indian derivatives market long back in 2000-2001. That's when I started my career. And, you know, by the time the liquidity in those markets, derivative markets and efficiency picked up, you know, if you look back, then you will see that, okay, 20 years back is when similar, you know, market volume activity had picked up in the US as well. Then, you know, I've been doing the managed futures kind of quant strategies for a long period, 11, 12 years now. And again, you know, the experience has been that the way that market has developed has been around 15 to 20 years behind what US has been doing. And if you see the overall quant space in the US, again, that started increasing in size and popularity and awareness from 2000 to 2001 onwards. So again, we are exactly, you know, 20 years away from that right now. And as you said, you know, we are hearing more about quant and data-driven strategies over the last 2-3 years. So again, you know, 17, 18 years behind the US is how I would put it. So it's more to do with that. And obviously that relates to the evolution of the market. You know, till you didn't have derivatives and you didn't have liquidity in that market, you obviously could not think of an equity long short strategy, for example, right? Because there was no way to short. Now you have liquid futures on a lot of the, at least the large cap and larger mid cap stocks. So you can at least use that for expressing your relative short view. So it's got to do with that evolution also. And thirdly, of course, the regulations in the market, right? So until the AIF regulations came around in 2012, I think, there was no way to again create any long short or market neutral or other types of strategies other than just do long only. And on the long only side, of course, on the mutual fund side also, as you said, there are some quant funds now. And that, of course, you know, getting comfort with a data-driven approach obviously has taken time for the traditional fund managers and CEOs, CIOs, because they were used to discretionary fundamental stock picking. And while a lot of them are aware and want to use the quant techniques, I think it initially started with more of a quantamental approach, which is a mix of traditional fundamental and quantitative. I think that came much more easily to most of the long-term fund managers. And then as they've got more comfort with a data-driven approach, now you're seeing pure quant funds launching.
Okay. So globally, what is the number of or what is the amount riding on quant focus funds globally and vis-a-vis India?
Yes. So globally, obviously, US is the largest market. And next is, you know, Europe and then Japan a little bit. So if I talk of the US market, because data, you know, is very readily available there, then you will see that across smart beta, quant funds, factor-based funds, which are all, you know, different terminologies being used for quantitative-related funds, even on the sort of mutual fund ETF side, these categories combined have around $1.5 trillion. So it's quite large now. And this is not even covering all the hedge funds. So obviously, a lot of quant hedge funds in US and Europe collectively, again, you know, would have another, according to me, $1 trillion or so. So you easily have more than $2.5 trillion overall across quant mutual funds and quant hedge funds just in the US alone. So it's become quite large. And as I was saying earlier, it's really boomed in the last 20 years. It started from 2001. From 2008 onwards, it really increased again post the credit crisis, because a lot of pension funds also realized that, you know, going the quantitative or ETF route is a much better way of building their portfolios. In India, in comparison, obviously, you know, as you were also saying earlier, that it's only recently that things have started picking up. So on the quant mutual fund side, you know, across all the funds, it's very small, I think 6,000-7,000 crore AUM. Even on the AIF side, what we are seeing, you know, we are one of the very few funds at vendors that are using quant. So again, would be a few thousand crores only. So wouldn't collectively across mutual funds and AIF funds, wouldn't be more than 19,000 crores. So there's a very long way to go. But because initial action has been seen and, you know, the initial response from the market has been encouraging, you see typically all the large names on both mutual fund side and AIF side having launched quant funds now. So that's an encouraging start.
Right. See, in March 2020, last year, when, you know, of course, all the markets across the globe actually were facing an unprecedented crisis, the lockdown because of the pandemic. Now, according to you, did the quant strategies help in kind of beating such kind of uncertainty? This I'm talking about, especially the hedge funds, which were based on quant strategy.
Yes, that's a very interesting question. So again, you know, hedge funds and quant both, as I said, you know, many different types of strategies can be there, some of which I mentioned earlier. So what I would say is, you know, the ones which are more long short, like equity long short or managed futures or even equity market neutral, those types of strategies, yes, they did help a lot. Because, for example, in a managed futures strategy on the quant side and on the hedge fund side, what you typically do is you try to ride the trends and the momentum in the markets. When markets are going up, you are going more long than short. And when markets are going down, you are going more short exposures than long. Right. So in a period like last year, March, a lot of the managed futures funds globally, you know, went short, and therefore they could capture a reasonable part of the decline in the markets. So that's how some of these strategies help. On the other side, an equity long short or an equity market neutral strategy, where the goal would be to have low risk and capture consistent returns, again, you would have hedges in place and your net market exposures would be very low. And therefore, if the theme you're betting on, you know, plays out, you know, I'm say long the best momentum stocks and short the worst momentum stocks, and momentum does play out, then I still end up making money despite having low exposures. And even if I don't, I at least don't lose too much. Compared to, say, a long fund, you know, which would obviously take the entire market decline in that period.
Okay. So it will kind of help the portfolio owners to hedge against uncertainties like maybe a crash of 20% that we saw in March 2020 last year, especially for the Indian markets.
Exactly. So one point I would add there is, you know, when you look at asset allocation, right? Traditional way of doing asset allocation was bonds and stocks, you know, equity and debt mix. And now if you throw such alternative, especially quant-related strategies, you know, then you are much, much better on the efficient frontier. You get much better risk-adjusted returns, basically, for any portfolio.
Okay. I'm sure this also has a lot of challenges. Because you have to build an error-free system where the template is correct and kind of able to hedge those risks and those bumpy rides that the markets may be encountering. So what are the challenges?
Yes, that's a great question. I think when we look at quant and data-driven strategies, you know, this is something even more important than, you know, whatever else we were talking of earlier, because it's very careful to get the correct process and correct data in place, because as you know, we were discussing right at the beginning, that quantitative approach means a rules-based, process-driven, you know, approach. So if the process is wrong or the data going in is wrong, then obviously everything else you do later, however intelligent or fancy it may be, will end up basically giving the wrong result. So what, you know, we all call as GIGO, garbage in, garbage out. You know, that is the most important thing. So cleaning the data, ensuring its correctness, you know, all that is the most important sort of first step. And then the right process, you know, we all in the quantitative world do the back testing or basically simulation, go back 20, 30, 50 years, whatever data we have. So for example, in India, we have more data of the last 20, 30 years, but in other markets, data for 50 or 100 years may be there. So whatever markets we are using for the simulation, we go back as far as possible, firstly, clean that data, and then we have to run the right process for simulation, meaning that, you know, there's a process called in sample and out sample. So first you pick a certain period, let's say in India, I pick 2001 to 2010, and say that, okay, on that, I will run my model and rules and see what results I get. If those results are encouraging based on whatever parameters I'm tracking, then I will finalize those parameters and model and then run it on 2011 to 20 and see what results I get. I will not keep optimizing every 1 or 2 years because that again leads to overfitting or curve fitting at some level. So solving for that curve fitting and having the right process so that you don't fall prey to that is the other very, very important thing. And finally, you know, adjusting for trading costs, slippages, it sounds very simple and obvious, but a lot of beginners or people who do not have experience, you know, end up doing that. Because I'll give you a very simple example. If you look at India and in fact, any market globally, you know, if you just buy the index at the close and sell at the next day open every day and intraday you are out of the market, you know, you will actually have as good returns as what the index has delivered over the last 20 years or maybe even better.
Okay.
So which means that, you know, you should just be doing that. Why do you have to be present every day? But when you adjust it for the slippages and the costs, then those returns erode completely. So that is very important as well.
Right. So I was very curious to understand. See, of course, we have seen fund managers using this sophisticated strategy to build a portfolio. But globally and also in India, are you seeing retail guys or retail participants using quant strategy for building individual portfolio, or is it very difficult or sophisticated?
So it is a bit more difficult and sophisticated for retail you know, participants to do it themselves. And therefore, the participation has been lower. You know, we are talking about institutions only having started doing it a few years back. So obviously much tougher for retail. But the good trend is that you have all these fintech companies now, right?
Right.
And they are building a lot of tools for retail and building a lot of strategies, you know, and it's getting democratized where, you know, anybody can come and put up their strategy and anyone else can follow it. So, you know, you could put up your strategy and I could follow it if I like it and trade based on that. So that's an interesting trend. But the pitfall of that is, you know, you don't even know the skill set and the experience and the understanding of yes, the retail people who are even putting up those strategies.
Coming to that. It's like I'm following your footstep blindly and without knowing what are the risk caveats that you have followed and may not match my risk appetite in the long run.
Exactly. So that I think one needs to be careful. So I think a lot more regulation and a lot more risk management sort of needs to come into it, both from the industry. So I think the fintechs putting this up need to think hard about this and also solve for this themselves. And then the regulators have to step in and also, you know, oversee this part, because, you know, finally, worrying about retail is obviously always more important. We have very strict rules on the institutional side already. So obviously the retail side, you know, should see that. But once that is done, which I'm hopeful should happen over the next few years, then it can obviously be very interesting for retail too.
Lastly, one question I wanted to ask you about price momentum factor in stocks. There's something, you know, you do that using quantitative strategy portfolio building. So could you explain that?
Yes, sure. So, you know, momentum, using momentum as a quant factor started in the 90s. Obviously, all these, you know, innovations were done in the West. So in the US mainly initially. And it was very surprising to a lot of academicians as well that, you know, when you solve for the value growth size factors, which were the important ones at that time and even are till now, you still find that momentum ends up making returns which are not correlated to all these other factors. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing is it has held up over time. So, you know, there were many people used to think that, okay, it may be a short-term phenomenon, it'll fade out. But just like any other technique of selecting stocks, you know, obviously there are ups and downs and cycles in the kind of returns that you see. But over the longer run, it has proven to be one of the best ways of, you know, building a portfolio. So in fact, there are some academic papers on using momentum going back 100 years, 200 years across asset classes, not only stocks, but even other asset classes. And the result of those studies is that, yes, it has been one of the most consistent returns, you know, from any quant technique, almost every decade. So every decade, it ends up doing pretty well. Within the decade, obviously, there's a lot of volatility. So that is very, very interesting. And in India, of course, you have some funds now which have started using it. But, you know, at a very basic level, it's about, okay, let's say the BSE 100 index, you know, simply rank by the trailing 6 month, trailing 12 month returns, and, you know, go long the ones which are doing the best and short the ones which are doing the worst. That is the most simplistic way. Obviously, that is not the best way to do it. And then we can have many modifications on that, which is what we try and do, you know, use volatility, use other factors to improve this portfolio.
Right. See, market psychology itself is a very interesting topic, especially, I'm sure, by quant strategists like you. And it's a very, very deep conversation that we can keep on having for a long time. But we are running short of time. And on that note, thanks a lot, Rishi, for those really, really interesting insights into how does quant strategies look like. Thank you so much for giving your time.
Sure, Nasreen. It was nice chatting and sharing my knowledge. Thanks.
Thank you. For feedback, you can write to me at nasreen.s@lifemint.com, or you can reach out to me on Twitter at @nasreenstory. You can also reach out to us at HT Smartcast. We are present on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And to listen to more podcasts like this, you need to log on to www.htsmartcast.com.
This was a Mint production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.